If you'll take your notes out, please. And I want to call your attention to the question, first question on the back of those notes. The first question reads, what do you think everyone will be talking about in 2019? What's that? Anybody want to suggest something? What do you think? Politics, okay. Something else. The market. Not Ralph's. The market. I remember when I was working at a, that just makes me think, I was working at a parking lot during college, parking cars for people. If you can imagine, people wouldn't trusting me to do that. Some really, really nice cars. And a woman that was in a financial area of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and this woman walked in and she said to my boss, who owned the business there, this parking business, said to him, have you heard the market report yet? And he said, yeah, I think hogbacks are up. He's talking about hogs and the price of wheat? She wasn't talking about, you know, that market. She was talking about that market. And what else do you think people will be talking about? What's that? Exercising. Ah, all right. Well, you know, whatever it is, we're going to know, as people talk, we're going to know what they're thinking about, right? And we're going to be talking. And people will know what we're thinking about. So as I write in your opening paragraph in your notes, so what will we be talking about? And to whom? Psalm 145, which is a song of David's, introduces the last five psalms, urging us to speak up and sing out. That's what the Psalms urge us to do, to speak up and sing out. I want you to turn with me again to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, George, thank you so much for reading. And I'm going to read through this again, but I'll read all the way to the 21st verse. So I'm going to read from the New International Version. I'd like you, if you don't have a Bible, pull out the Bible in the rack in front of you. It's page 621, Psalm 145. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it a little slowly, not to fill time. It will take time, but I want to read it. And as I do, please engage your mind and heart. What's he singing about? What's he urging? For part of it, it's he's speaking directly to God. Sometimes he speaks to God and then to us. To God and then to us. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you or bless you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and he lifts up all those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the last of the 75 songs that David composed, that David sang, that David taught to his people. This is the last of David's 75 songs that he wrote. And it begins the last chorus of songs, the last five psalms, the Hallel, that sing hallelujah to God. In this song, David celebrates the true eternal king. And he celebrates him for who he is and what he does and what he promises. Psalm 145, we can't, unless you know Hebrew and you have a Hebrew Bible here with you right now, we can't fully appreciate just the way it's organized so that people could memorize it, would have a better shot at memorizing it, because this is like some of his other songs. It's in the form of an acrostic, and it goes through the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, beginning with the first letter of the alphabet and ending with the last. And each line, as it goes, one line begins with the first letter and the last line ends with the last letter. Why was it so important that people just memorize this or have this in this order? It was because it was common practice among Jews for them to sing this or speak these words two times in the morning. These words that I just read. And once in the evening. And the Hebrew volume that comments on all of the Hebrew writings, it's called the Talmud. The Talmud would say that you would be blessed forever if you would say the words of this song three times every day. The words of this song. One of our fears anytime we read something like this, whether I read it, whether you read it, sometimes it's so easy to engage our mouths, but not so much our minds and our hearts. But these would be good words to memorize. These would be good words to read over. I suggested possibly for our devotion, something that I plan on doing this year for my devotions. This is my own personal, and I would suggest it to anybody else. Choose a portion of scripture like this one, like I will, and take a paragraph, like the first three verses, and read it over every day. Read it over in the morning and read it over in the evening. For me, it works best to read it over out loud in the morning and read it out loud in the evening. Every day throughout the week and even throughout the month. Until it becomes part of, it's emblazoned on my soul. I will exalt you, my God the King, verse 1. I will praise your name forever and ever. The third question in your notes, it says this. What are you learning? What are you learning to do? What are you learning? This is a question for me. What am I learning to do every time I, or you, hear somebody say, praise God? What do you do? Really, what do you do? What are you learning to do every time you hear somebody say, praise God? Probably pretty easy for most of us to say, well, I'm not one of those boisterous people. You know, like in the middle of the pastor's sermon, I'd say, praise God. I guess none of those people came today. If somebody says, praise God, is the response to be, praise God? Actually, that's not what the response is. It's, say something about him. Think something about him. Meditate on something about him. Agree with what's been said. In your mind, in your heart. One of my new friends is Willie Asukar. I remember I met Willie up on the roof. And that's where I met this guy. As we're looking over the roof, that Jackie says there's holes all over the place. Well, it's there's a lot of, it's kind of a cat and mouse game there to try to find where the leak is. But I remember Willie that day told me about how he came to Christ right here. His son, Daniel, said the first time he spoke from the pulpit, he talked about his mom and dad getting married here. Willie would say that he was so far from God. And he said, I came to Christ upstairs in where El Calvario was meeting and would put sometimes 300 people up there in that room upstairs. Before they came down and they were in our fellowship hall next door. You know, when Pastor Luis spoke here on the first Sunday in December, because we were just finishing up the cold weather shelter, and El Calvario joined us here. We were just really crowded out as both churches were together in this place. And Pastor Luis spoke, and what did he talk about? Somebody tell me the one word that stood out. Let's see. What's that? Compassion. Compassion is something you ought to have for other people, right? Well, it was actually, he said it like, we need to have compassion for everyone, whether it's people that we like or don't necessarily like, and who might even be people that consider themselves to be our enemies. Compassion. And as Pastor Luis spoke, Willie was sitting back there, and he'd go, hey! Sometimes he'd say, praise God. You don't have to talk with Willie very long before you hear him. I mean, he's just in the normal part of conversation. He's saying, praise God. His life was radically changed. And you know, I said to him, Willie, I think it was probably somebody from my family, said, wow, Willie was really on fire today. I said, that's what he's like all the time. And you know what? I mentioned that to Willie. And this is what he said to me. These are really convicting words. I wish he was here right now to come up here and say this himself. Willie, you're not up in the balcony, are you? Okay. No, this is what Willie said. He said, "Pastor, every time I come to church, every time, I expect to hear from God. I expect to hear from him. So when the pastor's up here preaching, I expect to hear from him. When I'm talking with you up on the roof, I expect to hear from him. When I'm involved in a work day, I expect to hear from him. When I'm with God's people, I expect to hear from him." Now I'm going to just ask you, just in the quietness of your own heart, do you come with an expectation to hear from God? I believe for all of us, if we come with an expectation to hear from God, and his word is read, it's spoken, it's loved, we sing about him, when he's the focus, we should have an expectation to hear from him. So the psalmist, David, he's speaking to God. And he's talking about his expectation as he comes into his presence. He knows, as he speaks these words, as he sings this song, that God is listening. And he uses all these different words. In the first, take a look at your Bibles and let your eyes just flow over the first seven verses. And look at all the different words he uses. And they are, every single one of them, they are different words. They're different words in English that I'm calling your attention to, but they are different words in the Hebrew scriptures as well. These are words, he says, "I will exalt you, O Lord. I will, in my mind and heart, I will lift you up. I'm gonna lift up my eyes. I'm gonna lift up the gaze of my soul on you. I will exalt you, my God, the King." I'm the king around here. David could have said that. I'm the king. But the king is looking up. The king is looking up. The gaze of his soul is upward. What's the next word? What's the next word? I will exalt you. Now I will praise you. Some say, do some of your Bibles say bless? I will bless him. The bless is an enthusiastic yes to God. I will extol your name forever. Verse 2. Another word, to speak to God with exuberance and with a joyfulness, very joyfully. Verse 4, one generation will commend, will speak well of God, will draw the attention of the people around to him. The last part of this, of verse 4, they will tell of your mighty works, speaking to one another, speaking from one generation to the next generation. I ask this question, how will our generations here speak to each other about God? How will they speak to each other? What immediately comes to mind is parents speaking to their children about God, raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, raising them up to love him and appreciate him. They will speak about him. They will tell their children about all his works. They will reflect on his nature, his character, and his attributes. They will remember with their children, remember when God did this in our lives. Remember that? Do you remember? I wonder if my son One of my sons remembers the day that we were in the most horrible torrential downpour, not like, you know, storm alert California. No. This was a blinding rainstorm. And it was 10:30 at night as we entered, we were going on a ramp to go onto a freeway at 45 miles an hour. And I couldn't see worth anything with my windshield wipers at high speed. And I pulled over to the side, but remember, I'm on a merge ramp where the next person coming up behind me, and my car just stopped. I didn't stop on purpose. My car stopped. And I pulled the doghouse off of my full-size Dodge van, and I started to clean out the distributor cap that I thought, the inside of there, it's wet. I'm no mechanic, boy. I'm horrible. And one of my kids said, "Dad, should I pray?" You guys remember that? I remember it as vivid as the night it happened. And I said, "Yeah, please pray. And I'm going to keep wiping this thing out." But you know, it's one of those memories. Remember, you see, one generation commends God's work to the next generation. But it doesn't just flow from parent to child. It also goes from child to parent. It goes from young adult to adults when we're together, up on a roof or out, you know, or taking down decorations here. It's one generation is speaking about what God's doing. And like my friend Willie, when we're together, we expect to hear from each other. One generation commends your work to another generation. And this flow goes back and forth, not in any kind of a spiritual one-upmanship, but because we bless the Lord enthusiastically in each other's presence. So I want to try a little experiment, okay? I don't want you to speak out loud. I want you to think something immediately. Okay, just wait. I'm going to tell you what to do, all right? And I want you to, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Praise God. Write it down. Write what you're thinking. Praise God. I'll say it again. This is now number two. Write it down. Praise God. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Come on. Write it down. What's the first thing that comes from your mind? Praise God. Three times. Come on. Did you write three different things down? Three different words? You see, this is what praise is. I want to say this again. To praise God, it's among many, many things. It is to recall what he said. It's to recall one of his attributes. What kind of attribute could you write down right now? How about, we sang about it today. We sang about his love. We sang about his greatness. Maybe the word, Lord, you are great. You are good. You are kind. We sang all those words. And I'm running to your arms. The richness of your love and grace. You see, all of these things are attributes of God. Praise God. Rehearse in your, another way to praise God is to rehearse how God has worked in biblical history. Another way is to recall how God has worked in the history of the world, even in the midst of wars. To praise God is to recall what he's done in our lives, our church, our family, among our friends, in answer to prayers. It is to recall what he's done and what he's doing. What will I say? What will I say this year in 2019 to God. As I walk in the morning and I begin to pray, thinking about all the other stuff that's going on in my life, what will I think and how will I praise him? Folks, this is not, I will say this, sometimes it's a pure discipline to challenge myself. Is my heart engaged, bowing before him? Attributes, history, biblical history, history of the church, history throughout the world, our history. Praise God. What comes to your mind and what comes off our lips as we speak to God? In the presence of our kids, in the presence of each other, and when we're all alone, just us and him. I've merged this into the second point, which is, what will I say to other generations? What will I say to the other generations around me? Young adults. And there's a lot of people in this room that are younger than me. What will I say to people here that are younger than me? In unceasing praise will teach my kids and the people around me that God is absolutely at work. This is the process, folks, saying to our kids and to each other, we are the product, we are the fruit of God's grace. There's some people in this room that have spoken to me about how God is working in that person's life by deeply, deeply impressing him with the issue of God's unmerited favor, his grace. We speak to each other and we grow each other as we speak in praise of God and this attribute of grace. As we listen to God's word, as we meditate on God's word, and he impresses us with, this is the way I am, we speak then to each other about what he's doing. You know, one of the reasons why we've had growth groups for a number of years is to ask people to get together with some other people on a weekly basis. After having listened to the message, then comes probably the hardest question. The hardest question, probably the most convicting question, is what are we doing? What are you doing with what was spoken of from the pulpit? What is God teaching you? What do you know for sure God is teaching you? And how would you know that he's actually teaching you? Is it actually changing the way you are thinking? Is it changing the way you're responding? Is it changing the way you are speaking? Is it changing your confidence in him? Is he speaking? And how is that working in your life? So we merge to this next point, as in verses 10 through 13, how are we going to speak this year to God's saints, to his saints? The third point in your notes. Verses 10 through 13. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. People who are following you will extol you. They will speak joyfully, enthusiastically, exuberantly about you because you are doing something in their lives. And they've seen it in your word. They've heard it spoken by others, and they've seen it lived out in their lives. God's people speak to one another. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, as God's people are controlled by his Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God, we sang this song. You know, I wonder, what were you thinking? Sometimes I can be a real cynic. So Dan chose this song to sing today. I don't know if he read the text that we were going to go through today. But we sang a song. The Spirit of the Lord is here. What would make us think that the Spirit of the Lord is here? Well, the Bible tells us he's everywhere, right? So I guess that was, oof. I got out of that one okay. Did I get the answer right? The Spirit of the Lord is here. What makes me think that I can expect him to be here? Because I believe he's at work always. Okay, I'm still being a little bit. Because I think that some of my friends came in with him today, having had spent some time with him during the week, having personalized his word this week, having freshly yielding themselves to him. So of course, the Spirit of the Lord is here. I can sense it in this place. It's the experience I have when I get together with God's people. And so God's people speak. All you have made, verse 10, will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you or bless you. Verse 11, they will tell of the glory of your kingdom, where you're king, and speak of your might. They will speak of your might because they've experienced your might in their lives. Maybe not everybody at the same, of course not. It wouldn't be the same intensity every week. But they will speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts, verse 12, and your glorious and the glorious splendor of your kingdom among your kingdom. What's it made up of? What's his kingdom made up of? Look around you. That's what his kingdom is made up of. The saints. Don't wait for some council to pronounce you a saint. God's word said, if you belong to him, you're one of his saints. You're his royal nation. You are his holy people that he has chosen to get the word out. So of course, you get the word out in here, you get the word out there. We all are in this thing together. Verse 13, your kingdom among your saints, here and in heaven, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Now, here's a fun fact to tell. My Bible, one of my Bibles, has a little bracket around the second half of verse 13. The second half of verse 13. It's got this little bracket. It says this. It's maybe in the notes, it doesn't, one of my study Bibles. It says, this is the one portion, this is the one line in the text that actually wasn't there in some of the older manuscripts. And then it was discovered at Qumran and in the desert. And it was pulled out and they saw this, and it was in then a number of other places. And so this seems to flow, but this is the one that would have been started with the N. It would be the N. What in our language, the letter N. The Lord is faithful to his promises and loving toward all he has made. How will we speak? How will we speak of God's greatness? Now, I want you to just write, if you've got a pen, just how will we speak of God to each other when we pray? How will we speak of God when we worship? How will we sing about him? How will we speak of God? What will we be thinking? What will be our meditations that surface when we study God's word together? When we encourage each other? When we counsel each other? How will we speak of God when a friend of ours says to us, I don't think I can go on any longer. I don't think I can go on in my marriage. I don't think I can go on living another day. I don't think I can. How will we speak of God when we are like the last person, it seems, who will be maybe even be able to speak to this person? How will we speak of God? Will it come out of our minds, and what will be coming off of our hearts? How fresh will our relationship with God be, that we are able in that moment of almost panic, when we realize my friend is counting on me right now? How will we be ready or readied to speak in a non-sing-songy way to our friend in counsel? How will we speak of God as we speak in the social media realm? How will we speak of God when we work side by side? How will we speak of God when we fellowship with each other at the New Year's thing tomorrow night? Finally, how will we speak of God to ears that hear? To ears that hear when someone is falling. Psalm 37, verse 24. Turn to Psalm 37, page 553. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 24. Actually, verse 13 first. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. This week I was called upon by a friend to stand by him in an hour of darkness. An hour of darkness that extends to days and weeks and who knows how long of darkness of the soul. Can I say to him, the Lord will stand by you. The Lord will stand by you. He stands by his people. The eyes of all creatures look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. I was just reading an article. You know, this is lifted out of, it's lifted actually out of Psalm 147 as well. Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9. Look at this. Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9. Just turn the page. He covers the sky with clouds. God covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain, and he makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. Do you believe that? I'm talking about animals now, folks. Just animals. Some of you are animal lovers. You know, I know. Some of you are crazy animal lovers. That's okay. That's good. And some of you don't like to touch anything that's got fur. Come and touch the top of my head. But you know, I was reading this article in the Smithsonian magazine, this maybe a couple of ones back. And I was just reading this yesterday about the beautiful picture of a white spotted owl, just gorgeous, and they are from the far north in the tundra, and they're just beautiful. And the population, this person that follows them said that the population is really dwindling because I won't get into the article, but it's like their number one food source is the lemming, the little rat-like creature, the lemming. And the lemming population is down, so the owls are kind of disappearing from a couple hundred thousand down to about 38,000 spotted owls now. I don't know how they come up with a figure like that, but they say it's way down. God provides food to the spotted owls when he provides lemmings. And he also provides food for the lemmings too, listen, folks, how will we speak when we're talking about the environment, when we're talking about nature, when we're talking about spotted owls or lemmings or any one of God's creatures? How will we speak to the saints when we're talking to each other about how God cares for his entire creation? Conservation didn't begin with us. It didn't begin with a couple of guys who decided that they were going to clean up the ocean. It just didn't. It begins with the living God. Verse 21 wraps this up. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature, praise his holy name forever and ever. I wonder, how will 2019 be impacted by the way we speak of him? To him? To the generations? How will 2019 be impacted by the way we speak to each other? And how will 2019 be changed by how we speak to anyone who will have ears to hear? Let's pray. Father, this is your world. We know it. We know you care. Not only do we know it because it's written in your word, we know that you care because of the way you've worked in our lives, the way you've changed the trajectory of our history, by the way you've blessed our family and our friends, by the way you've intercepted us when we were headed the wrong way. And indulging maybe our own depressions and emotions. We know, Lord, how you've intervened. And I pray, Lord, that we would speak with great exuberance and bless your name as we speak to you and as we speak to the generations around us, as we speak to the saints, each other, and as we speak to anyone who will have ears to hear. Lord, may your Spirit engage our minds and our mouths and our actions in praise of you. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, praise God.